headquarters, so they could get after Narion and the Daughter of Night as soon as possible. Chapter 7 Sara changed faces as easily as an actor swaps masks. Sometimes she was the cruel, cunning, coldly calculating necromancer who conspired with the captured. Sometimes she was just the near widow of the standard bearer and official analyst of the company. Sometimes she was just Tobo's doting mother. And whenever she went out into the city, she was Min Subredil, another being entirely. Min Subredil was an outcast, the half-breed by-blow of a priest of Kusa and a Nyangbo whore. Min Subredil knew more about her antecedents than did half the people on the streets of Taglios. She talked to herself about them all the time. She would tell anyone she could trap into listening. Min Subredil was a woman so pathetic, so shunned by fortune, that she was an old, bent thing decades before her time. Her signature, which made her recognizable to people who never had encountered her, was the small statue of Gangisha she carried everywhere. Gangisha, who was the god in charge of good luck in Guni and some Nyangbo belief. Min Subredil talked to Gangisha when there was nobody else who would listen. Widowed, Min Subredil supported her one child by doing scut work, day labor at the palace. Each morning, well before dawn, she joined the assembly of unfortunates who gathered at the northern servant's postern in hopes of gaining work. Sometimes she was joined by her dead husband's retarded sister, Sawa. Sometimes she brought her daughter, though seldom anymore. The girl was getting old enough to be noticed. Sub-assistant housekeeper Jal Barundandi would come out and announce the number of positions available for the day, then would select the people to fill them. Barundandi always chose Min Subredil because, though she was too ugly to demand sexual favors of, she could be counted upon to kick back a generous percentage of her salary. Min Subredil was a desperate creature. Barundandi was amused by Subredil's omnipresent statue, a devout Guni of the cult of Kusa. He often included in his prayers a petition that he be spared Subredil's sort of luck. He would never admit it to his henchmen, but he did favor Subredil, some because of her poor choice of a father. Like most villains, he was wicked only most of the time, and mainly in small-minded ways. Subredil, as Kaisara, never prayed. Kaisara had no use for gods. Unaware of his tiny soft spot, she did have in mind a destiny for Jal Barundandi. When the time came, the sub-assistant would have ample opportunity to regret his predations. There would be many, many regrets, spanning the length and breadth of the Taglian Empire, when the time came. We went out through the maze of confusion and distraction spells Goblin and One-Eye have spent so many years weaving throughout the neighborhood, a thousand layers of gossamer deception so subtle only the protector herself might notice them. If she was looking. But Soulcatcher does not roam the streets looking for enemy hideouts. She has the greys and her shadows and bats and crows to do that work. And those are too dim to notice that they are being guided away from or subtly ushered through the